mostly from Lamentations in the Old Testament, but one or two texts from James and also from Isaiah. So let's hear God's word. The cries of those who gather in your crops have reached the ears of God the Lord Almighty. All her people groan as they search for bread. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive.
Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering?
Remember, O Lord, what has happened to us.
Look at us and see our disgrace.
Our property is in the hands of strangers.
Foreigners are living in our homes.
We must pay for the water we drink.
We must buy the wood we need for fuel.
To get food enough to stay alive, we went begging to Egypt and Assyria.
Our ancestors sinned, but now they are gone, and we are suffering for their sins.
We risk our lives when we look for food.
Hunger has made us burn with fever.
Nothing is left of all we were proud of.
We are sick at our very hearts and can hardly see through our tears. But you, O Lord, are King forever.
For Israel will again be great, filled with joy, like that of reapers when the harvest time has come. For God will break the chains that bind his people. And thanks be to God for his word. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in the Creator, the Maker. That's our subject this morning, according to the blue sheets that I handed out last week, containing the sermon topics from now until mid-December. But how can I deal with such a huge subject in 8.5 minutes or thereabouts? And the answer is, with great difficulty. And yet, on the other hand, on Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday, you surely don't need to spell out the theory, because the practical evidence of the Maker's produce is before our very eyes. When I lived in Dundee and used to pass up the streets of Lochee, the Lochee district of Dundee, there was a shop that I passed on the left for years. It was called Home Produce. And whenever I passed that shop, there seemed to be nothing in the shop windows. Now, I suppose it's possible that just before I passed, there were great queues and all was sold out, but I couldn't help thinking to myself, because the window was always nearly empty, there's not much produce from that home, and it's so different with God's home that he's given us to live in. The shop window at harvest time is full of his produce. And the practical evidence to help us believe that there really is a maker. But some of you perhaps say, is this so? Can I look down at a tin of baked beans on the table and say, hey presto, God made it? Well, presto might be the right name, only the supermarket one. Apparently today, 73% of households with a car buy their food at a supermarket. 60% of people without cars. 70% of all food bought in the United Kingdom is bought in the large supermarket chains. Yes, maybe in parts of Africa today they can pray and mean it. Give us this day our daily bread. But do we not in Britain depend for our weekly tins, not so much on God, but on Asda and William Lowe's? Let me ask you, who made these things? Blue Band, Flora, Cornetto ice cream, Brooke Bond and Lipton tea, Surf washing powder, Lux soap, Timothy shampoo, Signal toothpaste, Pond's skin cream, Chloe and Eternity perfume. Well, we know it wasn't the maker up there. We know it's Unilever down here. Unilever's turnover annually is something of the order of £27,800 million, and that's more than the gross national product of every African country apart from Algeria and South Africa. So what can it mean for us in Scotland today in 1996 to say we believe in God, the maker of heaven and earth? I think it can mean at least three things. First of all, it means that we know who, but not necessarily how. The solution chapter of one of Dorothy Sayre's detective stories is called When You Know How, You Know Who. And the Bible says almost the exact opposite. The Bible in Genesis 1 and 2 tells us who, without giving us many answers about how. The message of these chapters is this. You've seen the sky and the stars and the moon and the sun. You've watched the birds and the fish. You've observed the landscapes, the vegetation, the animals, the insects, big things and little things in the world. Fantastic, isn't it? Well now, here's the one behind it all. As if to say, now that you've enjoyed these works of art, you can shake hands with the artist. Since you were thrilled with the music, we'll introduce you to the composer. The Bible has been given to us to show us the Creator rather than creation. The Bible has been given to us to teach us knowledge of God rather than knowledge of physical science. Who? But we still ask, how did the world come into being? Now listen, friends, there are not many answers to that question. There are basically really only three. One, either the universe came from nothing, in which case the brain of Einstein came from nothing. Nothing created brains. The world came from nothing. Or secondly, the world came from an impersonal something, a lump of energy, pre-programmed and eternal. Or thirdly, behind this universe there is a personal something, an infinite mind, infinite power, an infinite God. The choice, you see, is between nothing, a lump, and the living God. I believe in God, the maker of heaven and earth. Secondly, this means that we know that he's got the whole world in his hands, including the tiny little baby and you and me, brother. Now, I hope it's not too simple an illustration to visualize not merely our little world we call Earth, but all the worlds that are encircled in the great and mighty arms of the living God. He's got the whole world in his hands. Does that frighten you? For it does mean that at every corner of daily living, there is a God with whom we have to do. It reminds us that God does not depend on us, but we depend on God. But do we really depend on him? Someone has said that before you finish eating your breakfast this morning, you depended upon half the world. But the Bible says we actually depend upon the Maker. We need to remember that we don't know what a day may bring forth. We need to remember that we can't draw another breath except he gives us power. We need to remember that we exist by his will and for his pleasure, not he for ours. But why isn't God doing a better job in his world? In 1989, there was a stock of 100 days food supply left in our world. In 1995, the stock had fallen to an all-time low of 49 days. That's 10% below the level needed to keep the world fed. Why has God got it so wrong? Well, he hasn't got it wrong. The cake that he's given to the world is big enough. It's just that the greedy nations have more than their slice of the cake. Too many slices, and won't share it with others. So I still believe in God the Maker, who's got the whole world in his hands. And thirdly, it means that we know that he has made us for himself. And our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. These were the words of the great St. Augustine, and they're dead true. Believing in the Maker reminds us that we are made in his image, and one of the things that means is that he made us to think and to learn and to worship and to know him. And without this, we will never find happiness in the world. On Friday at the high school assembly, I asked the pupils there if they had watched the previous Monday night a program on television about a well-known guy who has a kind of peroxide hairstyle. And 80% of the youngsters put up their hands. Most of them had watched on Monday night on Channel 4, Gaza Coming Home. And I asked them what they thought of the program. Was it great? Yeah. Was he real? Yeah. And I said, well, let me tell you what I felt during and after that program. I felt really sad. Really sad. For behind this humorous and attractive and brilliant footballer, behind the wealth and the money and the laughter, there is undoubtedly a lonely little boy who's out of touch with reality. This is what he said. I wrote it down as I watched the program on my bed with paper and pencil. This is what Gascoigne said. I don't like to be on my own. When you're on your own, you have to think a lot. I don't like to think. That's unreal. He's out of touch with the reality in the universe, and the one behind the universe, who made us in his image, who made us to think. To think about life, to think about why we're here, to think about him, to think about his gospel. And to come and find in him and his Son Jesus Christ the rest and the peace that we need for our souls. And from that rest, the service that we can give to others. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe this? May God help us to believe not only with the top of our heads, but with the depth of our hearts and lives. Let's pray. We know instinctively that you are there, O God, and we pray that you will teach us clearly the knowledge of yourself and the wonder of your creative skill and your supporting power, and above all your personal love, as you want to remake us as your children who trust in you and follow your plans in this your world. Lord, help us, for we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.